right, Laurie, we're going to get to the food you brought in just a minute, but we'll tease ourselves with that for a bit. You just got back from Italy.
28 Wisconsin Public Radio listeners and I took a trip to Italy in September. Yes.
And I want you to share a couple of your favorite food memories from that trip to Italy. And I know it's hard to narrow it down.
Well, one thing that I couldn't bring into the studio because they wouldn't allow me to bring it into America without serious penalties. We were there at the start of black truffle season.
Oh.
So a lot of the pasta dishes we had when we were touring, it didn't matter if we were in the north around Bologna or even as we got into Rome, there were the option of black truffles on your antipasto, on your pasta, on your pizza. There were black truffles everywhere, and so fragrant. Even before the dish was set in front of you, you could tell who had ordered black truffles on their pots. Just this wonderful, rich, earthy smell. And then you take a bite, and you know it's a good pasta dish to begin with. And then that wonderful, rich black truffle. It's the ultimate in mushroom. So that was one thing that really stood out, being there in September, is being there for a part of black truffle season. One thing that stood out for the whole group is what we've got in front of us right now, however, and that is gelato. Okay, we were from America's Dairyland, and we take our ice cream and our custard pretty seriously, but it did not take long before the entire group fell under the spell of Italian gelato.
They converted you.
My first day there, I'm in the Rome airport. It's 10:30 in the morning. There's this gorgeous Italian guy walking down the concourse, Armani suit, fancy briefcase, cone of gelato in his hands. It's okay, so it's not a myth. The Italians are crazy for gelato. They're eating it all the time. And what we discovered is that there is a difference between gelato and ice cream. It basically boils down to fat, air, and temperature. Ice cream is made with milk and cream, and very often eggs, or at least an extra egg yolk. Gelato is mostly milk, very little, if any, cream. Almost no eggs are used.
You're telling us it's a health food.
I'm not saying it's a health food.
It's but healthier than the Wisconsin version.
It's definitely coming across as a little bit different. You're going to have a little less sugar. You're dealing with, in many cases, a lot fresher ingredients because gelato is made in smaller batches. So you don't need as much sugar in it to boost the flavor. So what makes American ice cream lovely is those wonderful fat, mouth-coating, tongue-coating fat on your tongue. That's where a lot of that flavor is carried. Gelato doesn't have that, so it relies on fresher flavors. Gelato has less air whipped into it than American ice cream. And gelato is not frozen as at a lower temperature, and it's also served a little warmer. So our basic attitude was that the gelato tends to taste lighter and fresher on the tongue, which is probably why it's easy to have gelato 2 and 3 times a day in Italy, because it doesn't feel like you've just ingested a fat bomb. So I have in front of you two bowls, one with chocolate shop old-fashioned vanilla ice cream. I got the best vanilla ice cream I could get. And the other is vanilla gelato, which comes from, again, a small producer here in Madison, Java Cat.
And you're not going to tell us which is which, are you?
I'm not going to tell you.
I've already figured it out.
Okay. Wait, I haven't tried it yet. Okay.
All right.
Don't give it away. Talk amongst yourselves.
Nom, nom, nom.
Okay. So there's
That was yummy.
That was yummy.
That was yummy, too.
Okay.
Our food experts have concluded they're both yummy.
They're both yummy.
I think I know which one's gelato, though.
All right. What are you noticing in your mouth? Is there
different texture.
Different texture.
For sure.
What I noticed in this particular gelato is that the vanilla tastes brighter. If you've ever made of like a sugar cookie with a really good vanilla, that's going to it's going to have a more forward flavor rather than some vanillas that are not such high quality can sometimes taste muddy in a cookie. And so I'm noticing a similar thing here. I know the chocolate shop uses great vanilla in their ice cream, but because it's with this heavy, dense fat ice cream, mm-hmm. it's going to have a different vanilla note to it. And it's not to say that one is better or worse than the other. It's that you've got two different products here. You can use them for two different things.
All right. You got to tell us which one is which now. I want to know if I'm right.
Okay.
Red Bull's gelato, right?
No.
What? Quit lying, liar.
No, the red...
I was wrong?
Now, I will say this, because I
had... I was wrong, too.
Well, because I had to keep this... Because I had to keep this in the freezer, the gelato and the ice cream are at the same temperature. Mm. So that, I know, is going to be affecting the taste.
Oh, that's what threw me.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think... you know, I think people can be surprised at what temperature can do in when you're serving a food. For instance, if you've got a real cheap white wine that you know, it really doesn't have a great deal of flavor, but you've got to get rid of it. Restaurants do this, I'm sorry to say, a lot. They'll serve it to you a little too cold. Mm. And while a really chilled glass of white wine may be fantastic on a really hot summer day, If you're talking about a white wine that's not terribly complex, that's fine. But if you've got a complex white wine and you serve it too cold, you miss those complex flavors. It's not able to develop. And I think the same thing happens because gelato is served warmer. I think you've got, again, more of a chance to taste those flavors.
We're talking to Lori Skelton on Food Friday. And if you're getting hungry hearing about this food, you're just going to get hungrier. We've got some pasta coming up later. Now, Lori, I understand that we're eating vanilla flavor here.
Right.
There's like a zillion flavors, some of them kind of unexpected in Italy, of gelato, right?
One of the things that's delightful about gelato is that you can ask for any size dish that you want and then pack 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 flavors in. All you're paying for the size of the cup, and then they'll adjust the amount of gelato that they'll give you. So in addition to the fact that there are some interesting flavors like melon or green apple, there are also some really great, sometimes unintended combinations. The one that I couldn't believe ended up being so good that I had it twice was rum raisin and black licorice.
Whoa.
Huh.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, all in one gelato?
It was one cup, and half of it was rum raisin, and half of it was black licorice.
Wow.
And yes, I know it sounds weird, and it was one of those times that I just, oh, what the heck, I can't decide, I'll have them both. And they ended up tasting great together.
Well, our producer, Galen Druk, just sent us a note. He was in Rome for a chunk of time, and he had Gorgonzola gelato, and he says it was amazing.
Yeah.
Did you have that one, Lori?
I didn't have any Gorgonzola. I did have a taste of ricotta gelato. Mm-hmm. One thing they are really great at is, I mean, okay, we talk about plain vanilla. Their plain vanilla, their unflavored, if you will, can have sometimes 5 or 6 different nuances, shall we say. Ricotta is a really great one to work with. Again, you've got a basic flavor, but you're going to have a little bit of savory. Gorgonzola, now I've worked with cheese and ice cream before, and it works, but I could see where here the texture of gelato would allow more of the cheese flavor to come through. And if, say, you were drizzling it with a little good balsamic vinegar, which is a great way to serve. Yes, just a little. Good, not the stuff that they sell you and that they say comes from Modena. We're talking about the stuff that you dispense by the eyedropper full. Hmm. It's viscous, it's sweet, it's
syrupy,
figgy. And yes, drizzle it on gelato. It's amazing. Absolutely wonderful.
All right, we're having some delicious Food Friday talk here on Central Time. We've got Lori Skelton with us talking about Italian food. We put the dessert in front of the entree. We're going to turn from gelato because it was going to melt. We're going to turn from gelato to pasta coming up. But let's remind you, it is our pledge drive. It's your last chance to pledge during Central Time in this pledge drive. Go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. While you're there, if you pledge any amount, you can get the Central Time recipe package, 7 different recipes, including one of the pasta ones we're going to talk about.
And this is the last Friday, the last day you can pledge for Central Time during this fall membership drive, so don't put it off any longer. Get something else done, cross it off your to-do list, pat yourself on the back, be on your way, and enjoy your listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can start the process by making that pledge, decide your amount, go to your phone or your computer, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our conversation in just a bit with Lori Skelton about Italian food. We just had some luscious gelato that Rob and I both failed to identify as such, but it was yummy anyway. We're learning about it as we go.
And you could taste a difference.
Right. Yeah,
more we tasted it, we did a little more tasting, the more we could understand the difference.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. It was very educational. And then we've got some pasta coming up. But first, this is our fall membership drive, and we're here with Lori Skelton. And it's time to make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, the last day to pledge to Central Time. So get that pledge in, enjoy your Friday and your weekend, and feel good about something you did to support the radio station that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lori gave us a recipe that we're going to hear about in a few minutes for a pasta dish, single girl pasta.
Yep.
We'll talk about that in a bit. You can get a copy of that and six other recipes from Food Friday guests and staff. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge any amount at all, and you can get that collection of recipes. Single girl pasta. We've got a fruit tart from Ian Knauer. We've got a pickle recipe. Wassail? That's what you call it? That apple drink?
Wassail.
I want to say, don't you go a wassailing, though, when you sing that song?
It all depends on where the composer is putting the emphasis in that particular lyric.
Uh-huh.
But I've heard it both ways. Especially after you've had a few glasses, you can sing it a lot of different ways.
All right. So those and a few other recipes. It's our little way of saying thank you for making a pledge of support for the radio station you rely on. Pledge now at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
We had Chef Ian Knauer on last week, and he was talking about fall baking. And I know that his contribution is a pear ginger tart that's
right.
Sort of cooked upside down, and it's got caramely goodiness on the top of it. And it sounds pretty delicious. That's in that packet as well. But the important thing isn't necessarily the thank you gift. It's a nice thing to have, and we're happy to do that. But the important thing is that you decide that Wisconsin Public Radio is important. You acknowledge that, yes, you listen. Even during a pledge drive, you listen. And because you listen and because Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your life, it's the right thing to do to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Now is your chance to do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount that's right for you, and it really does matter. It makes a difference. Listener support, your pledges make up the biggest single part of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. It counts for a lot. So how about $5 a month? Not too bad. Do you listen enough to make $5 a month worth it? Or $10 a month? You get to pick. Go online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every pledge drive, it's kind of neat. We hear from people all over the country and even all over the world. We're not just talking Wisconsin here. We get pledges from Texas, Alaska, Japan, and Germany. You've got something special here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's definitely not uncommon for people to say they moved back and they really missed Wisconsin Public Radio, and they were so excited to be back because of the service that WPR offers and the listening. Because Wisconsin Public Radio is special, make that pledge. Help support it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lori is rattling around in the background doing the final steps of the cooking. This is the first time I've seen actual cooking happening in this studio.
This may take a little bit longer.
Okay. The smell is amazing. And is this the single girl pasta, Lori? Maybe it's time we talk about that while we're intoxicated by the smell.
Well, even if the pasta doesn't work, we still have the sauce. Years ago, long before I had a steady guy in my life, I discovered there's a particular way I like to eat pasta. I love onions. I love garlic. So I came up with a way of doing a low, slow onion and garlic and a little bit of butter and a little bit of olive oil and dump that over pasta. And I think it's one of the reasons why I don't get colds very often.
Oh.
Now, it could just be because I give off such an aroma of allium that nobody wants to get near me and get their germs on.
Get their germs,
me.
Yeah.
But this is something that it's one of my favorite comfort foods, what I call single girl pasta. And you can make this lovely oniony sauce and dump it on just about anything. But pasta does seem to work.
Now, you've got an onion sitting here, and it's an unusual shape for an onion. Is this a special kind of onion we can use in this dish?
I've always just used your basic yellow onion.
They're mild.
Yeah.
They're sweet.
But they're not too terribly special. Last week, I was at the farmer's market, and Jones Valley Farm had these onions, what they call a high-shouldered red onion, but it's actually an Italian varietal. So I figured since we were going to be talking about Italy today, I would try making my single girl pasta with these Rosso di Milano onions.
Nice accent.
Years of singing. You know where that comes from.
A little bit.
And it turned out this made the sauce even sweeter. So I wanted to bring in the onion and show you that you can get as fancy or as plain with this as you like, and it still comes out to be a terrific dish.
It looks like an apple.
Yes, it does. Once you cut it open, it has the same color as your standard red onion, but it's not the sharp red onion. This really does seem to do well when you cook it, whereas a lot of red onions, you want that bite in a sandwich or something. You want it raw. You want it to be a little bit forward. And this one melts down just beautifully into a sauce.
And you said something about cooking it long and slow or low and slow.
Right.
So why is that important with this dish?
Well, what you're aiming for is you want to bring out the sweetness of onion and garlic. And so you're basically caramelizing. You are rather than getting a sear to it, you want this to cook down gently so that instead of crust, you get those sugars developing, and you want this to sort of melt. You want the onions to lose their physical integrity and just get sort of all loose and happy and and perfumey, and it can be a rather seductive dish.
Yeah, I am not the biggest fan of raw onions, but I have to say caramelized onions, they're a whole different animal. They're so delicious and almost buttery, even though they're just onions. Something special happens.
Well, you talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to go get that sauce, even if the pasta isn't ready.
You'll be our Italian auntie rattling around in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we've whetted your appetite for this single girl pasta, and you can get that recipe and a handful of other ones with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've gotten 10 pledges so far this hour. Thank you so much. If you haven't pledged yet, remember, this is the last day of Pledge Drive here on Central Time. Your last chance to pledge during this new scrappy little afternoon talk show. If you've enjoyed Central Time over the few months we've been on the air, maybe just discovered us, know that your contribution is part of what makes it possible, a big part, the single largest part of our budget. Make a pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And no matter how much you pledge, when you make that pledge, ask for your packet of Central Time Food Friday recipes.
Now, I grew up on public radio. It was always on in the background in the house. It still is always on in the background in the house. And I think it's a great way for parents to introduce their kids to issues of the world and culture and ways to think about what's happening. It's a conversation spot. And if you've got little ones, too, and you want to have those conversations in your home, you want to introduce them to bigger concepts, get them thinking beyond themselves, Wisconsin Public Radio is great at helping you do that. So make a pledge for the next generation of Wisconsin Public Radio listeners and big thinkers at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you may wonder, how much should I pledge? What's the right amount? Well, you are the only person who can answer that question, and any amount is the right amount because it all adds up to what happens here on the radio. So as a suggestion, you might try pledging $5 a month or $10 a month. Whatever fits your budget, make that pledge. The important thing is that you do it, and do it right now. And just for the next 15 minutes or so, as a thank you gift, you can get those recipes, the Food Friday recipes. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, you love Wisconsin Public Radio because it's your source for intelligent radio. And as you know, there are bills associated with high-quality radio, but that's where you come in. We all do this together. Your support is so important. Making a pledge is quick and easy. It literally takes about 3 minutes of your time. And whatever your amount, whatever you decide is right, is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a few moments, we're going to hear more about this great pasta dish and talk a little bit about making your own pasta. I've never had the courage to try it, but maybe Lori can talk me into it. Stick around. Some great food talk still to come. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Verrett. We're going to eat some food in just a minute and talk about how it's made. First, a quick reminder, this is our pledge drive. You can make a pledge to support the radio you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And just for the next 12 minutes, ask for a copy of the Food Friday recipe packet. 7 great recipes, a lot of variety there. Pickles, desserts, and entrees. Yours with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now, we've been smelling this awesome food, and before we pass out with anticipation, we're going to try it. Tell us what we got here, Laura.
All right. We had to skip the pasta because we are having some electrical issues with our burners, but what we have here is the sauce that I put on top of my pasta. All this is onion and garlic, olive oil and butter, fresh thyme from my garden. You can put cheese on if you like. I tend to put too much. You can use salt and pepper to taste, but here I've just got the basics of the alliums, the thyme, and a long slow. This was on the stove for almost 40 minutes.
Oh, okay. See, I would think cooking onions that long, they'd be all burnt to heck. But this is on a low heat, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What you're doing is you bring your oil and butter up to temperature, throw in your garlic, and immediately turn the heat down a bit. Once the garlic has had a chance to cook a bit, again, you don't want it to brown, then you put your onions in. Turn the heat down even lower. Stir it up a bit, cover the pan, and just let it talk to itself for at least 30 minutes.
It just gets to sit there, right? You don't even have to swish it around. That's what I've discovered.
Not really, no. If the burner is low so that nothing is getting scorched on the bottom, it does kind of take care of itself.
It's really good.
It's delicious.
And then I just throw fresh, I love thyme with onions. And for something like this that has sat on the top of the stove for so long, you throw the thyme in, you throw your fresh herbs in just at the end, and that will give it that little pop of green against all of this caramelized, again, earthy, wonderful, deep flavor.
Well, talk a little bit about the pasta, because that's what, you know, Italians are known for, the delicious pasta. What did you discover about homemade Italian pasta while you were over there?
Well, there's more than one way to make it, but your basic proportions are a half a cup of flour. And if you want to use all-purpose, unbleached, a lot of Italian cooks will use that. But most of the Italian cooks I talk to, they want something that's milled a little finer, what they call doppio zero, 2 zeros. It's a very fine grain flour. And you take a half a cup of that and you put it on your board in front of you and you make a little well in it. And into that well, you crack an egg. And then you take a fork and you start beating the egg as though you were making scrambled eggs. Uh-huh. And then you just keep incorporating the flour into that. Once you've got a shaggy dough, once it's sort of all put together, then you start kneading it. And for those of you who think, oh, come on, make my own pasta, what is the possible benefit in doing that? I work at a desk job. I'm at my desk at my computer or I'm at a radio console, so I'm sitting a lot. I don't do very much physically during the day. If you've had a stressful day, If you come home and you have to knead pasta dough by hand for 8 to 10 minutes, it is a great stress reliever, I have discovered. It's a lot of fun. And
yeah, something about cooking just helps you feel re-engaged with the active world and your domestic life.
Or you can take it out on the person who was mean to you earlier the day and you couldn't say anything.
That is some tender pasta.
And also, this is a great way to get the kids involved in the kitchen. Kids love kneading stuff. And unlike bread dough, this is a small amount of dough, easy for little hands to get into. Kids can have a great time making pasta.
All right, Laura, we talked about how to make your own pasta. Let's get into the why. Apart from the exercise and stress relief, does it taste better? I mean, is it a more enjoyable eating experience when you've just made it yourself as opposed to, you know, do what I do and use the dried stuff?
Well, one of the things we discovered in Italy is that there are so many different kinds of pasta. Not every Italian wants fresh pasta in a dish. Spaghetti is a good example. Spaghetti is, you know, that's a factory-made pasta. It's very thin. It uses a slightly heavier flour, and it's not easy to make at home. And most Italian cooks will say, why bother? There's perfectly wonderful dry spaghetti that I will want to use for a lot of things. When you are, however, having a sauce that you really want to have shine, I think making your own pasta can make a difference. One of the pictures that we actually did get up on the Central Time website today was a picture of how they prefer to serve tortellini in Bologna. They don't prefer their tortellini under a sauce. First of all, they're very, very specific about tortellini. It should be small. We were told that if your tortellini is bigger than the navel of Venus, then you're making it too big. And the way they serve their tortellini is in broth, in brodo, it's called. And so there is an opportunity, a very simple, maybe chicken, a light beef broth. But here you'll want that delicate light pasta to really, really shine. And what better way to do it than if you've just had a fresh ricotta, maybe chop up a little spinach in that, and then wrap up your tortellini in fresh sheets of pasta. What could taste better? What could be more beautiful than navels of Venus on your spoon?
I'm just picturing all these people going up to the statue of Venus with their, it's too big.
I think the pasta sellers in Bologna have, it's so many, I think it's like a certain number of hundreds to a certain weight. And that I think is how they get to that navel of Venus thing. But yes, of course, the navel of Venus sounds a lot more poetic.
Yeah.
Now, Lori, are the Italians as passionate about food as you are? I find that hard to imagine. But they're Italian, so of course they are.
Every person I spoke to, whether it was the guy selling fruit who made a very specific point, you see these grapes over here? These grapes are only available 2 weeks out of the year. They taste like strawberries, and we wait for these grapes to show up. We celebrate these grapes. If Italians are good at anything, they've got the locavore thing down to a celebration. It's not a science to them. It's, oh my gosh, it's here. And it's only here for 2 weeks. So we are going to have grand food around this, in some cases, one particular ingredient. Maybe that's why I enjoyed my trip so much, is that nobody looked at me and rolled their eyes when I started banging the table gently when something was really, really good.
All right. Well, just in our last couple minutes here, a reminder, this is the last weekday, the last chance on Central Time to pledge in our fall membership drive. You count on us for great radio, tasty conversations about food, but also politics, philosophy, comedy, everything, really. Now, we count on you to help pay for it. You can pay for it with a contribution of any amount right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been listening for a while. Maybe you've been listening for a few months and haven't pledged yet. Maybe you've been listening for several years, but something has held you back. Well, why don't you try it? Experiment with supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. See how it makes you feel. Many people report feeling a greater sense of ownership and satisfaction when they listen, because They're really part of something. They're really sort of putting their money where their values are. That's one way to put it. Put your money where your listening is another way to put it. Or just do it because it's the right thing to do. But the important thing to do is to choose to do it on this last Friday for Central Time during our fall membership drive. And if you do it now, we will send you a thank you gift of our Food Friday recipes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of those recipes from our guest here, our own Lori Skelton, regular Food Friday contributor. Make a quick pitch for that recipe, Lori, because it's a good one.
I call it single girl pasta. It's garlic and onions and olive oil and butter and fresh thyme or fresh basil, if you will. And if you try it and you notice you get one or fewer colds this winter, let me know. And that it's not just me, that it actually does work.
Get that recipe and a bunch of other ones with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help make a difference in Wisconsin Public Radio. Support the listening that you enjoy and that you count on. We thank you so much for your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.